We Are SC podcast reviewing Fresno State and previewing Stanford. Gary Pasquis joined by Jeremy Hogue and Mike Lamb. And guys, let's just get some opening thoughts as we begin this podcast to talk about what we saw on Saturday, a truly impressive victory against Fresno State, 52-13, 701 total yards of offense, just some staggering numbers. Jeremy, why don't you get us started?
I think the thing that probably jumps out to almost everybody that watched was how efficient and effective the offense was. It looked like a team in mid-season form. I think by the time we were 2 to 3 possessions into the game, you know, Sark had already used, you know, Cody Kessler to spread the ball around to, you know, almost a dozen different guys. I'm sure it wasn't that many by the second or third possession, but I mean, just getting the ball in the hands of so many different talented skill players that all seemed to be on the same page. The offensive line was doing their job up front, both running the ball and pass protecting. Kessler was the ultimate point guard, sort of picking everything apart. It just seemed like they were much further along in the evolution of working with Sark in this new sort of fast-paced offense, much more than I thought they would be at this point in time. I think that was just fantastic to see for all Trojan fans. And then, of course, the defense did what you thought it was going to do and, you know, really was stifling Fresno State at every turn. You know, it's hard to read too much into week one when you're playing a Fresno State team that we just don't know how good they really are. But we'll certainly find out this week against a good Stanford team.
And I hate to have to do this, but I'm going to have to go back to last week's podcast and say that Jeremy Hogue was right, because I was very concerned about the offensive line and everybody coming in and out. And it's unconventional, but this offense is unconventional. So you were right. I was wrong. I admit it. It worked out pretty well. An observation about the way that this worked, Cody Kessler seemed to have a mastery of this offense, and that's kind of odd when you think about it. It's different than stuff that he's done before. His talents are something that Steve Sarkisian has utilized. Go back to the whole point guard thing. Somebody knows how to distribute. That was really evident to me. And it looked like a guy that had played in that offense for 7, 8, 9 games. You know, he really looked like he was, you know, playing in November as opposed to the opener. So that was the thing that really struck me. The other one, as I watched Buck Allen, I thought to myself, this is a guy that could play in almost any offense, any style. The fact that he's got a savvy, he understands where the hole is, he understands the cutback. I watched him very, very closely, really impressed with what he did. And then the other part of it, he gets the whole pass protection thing. So I'm seeing a complete back there. So if you want to talk about two players that are in critical positions, those two played much better than I anticipated anybody would in a first game. Offensive line, yeah, you know, they had their moments where they were very good, and then I think in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, I saw some guys getting a little bit tired. But, you know, I've never run over 100 plays. You know, Jeremy, I don't think you've run over 100 plays. So believe me, it's not a criticism. I think that's something that nobody's ever done before. But it was just really it was really something unique, and I love what Sark has come up with. You know, he's running some plays that are really traditional offensive plays out of a different look, and that utilizes the talent that they've got. So I was thrilled with what I saw offensively. On the defensive side, yeah, I think Jeremy said it, and I agree with that. It's probably what we expected. You know, Leonard Williams was Leonard Williams, and the secondary did a very good job. And you know, let's see what the test is going to be this week as opposed to what Fresno State was.
And the thing I think I would take away with is heading into the game, there was a lot of drama, obviously, around what happened with USC last week. And,
is that right?
People wondering, isn't it amazing how the team was going to respond? And, you know, the outside influences were calling them distractions. I don't know about you guys. I really wasn't worried about it at all heading into the game. When you look at the leadership of this team and what they went through last year, and, you know, Coach Orgeron had taught them, hey, be accountable to each other, that this is your team. And these players were so anxious to put that to the test. And after they went out and played the game, my favorite moment was after the game in the post-press conference. It was Sarkisian and then Kessler and Williams. And one of the media members started to ask Sarkisian, were you worried at all about the distractions of last week influencing your team and having a negative impact? And before that reporter even got done with his question, you saw Kessler and Williams just, you know, shaking their heads, no. You know, no way was that going to happen coming into this game. And I think we saw it in practice. I mean, both of you guys have hit on just how efficient and how smooth everything mm-hmm. looked. When you're talking about a first game for a first coach and everything, that's one of the biggest things that I'm taking away here. I don't want to disregard Fresno State, but it didn't even matter right. really who the opponent was. This game was all about SC.
Can I throw something out at you two guys? Because this is what I was thinking as I watched the team play better than I had anticipated. Do you think that all the controversy and all the change last year actually was something that turned into a team-building exercise? Do you think that these guys, because they have been through so much and they had to, you know, they've had some ups and downs, they've had some controversies that they overcame already, and that would exclude the freshmen from this, but, you know, everybody was on his team. You think that might work in their favor in a situation like we saw Saturday?
Mike, I do, and here's what I would say to that. You know, I think great college football teams, great NFL teams for that matter, but great college football teams are teams where the players take ownership of their team and realize that it's their team and that they've got a limited window to accomplish what they're going to accomplish at USC, and that the coaches are going to come and go, and they may go on to win national championships and be coaches for 25, 30-year careers, but they've got a limited window as players, and they better take ownership of their team, be accountable for their team, have some leadership on that team that says, this is our group of guys, this is us, we don't care what anything is going on outside, it's these guys in this locker room working with this coaching staff, no doubt about it, but being all we can be. And I think what you have seen sometimes, I will say, even some of the latter Pete Carroll teams, where it was more about Pete and that staff than it was about those guys, I think, you know, which was different than the Carson Palmer and Troy Polamalu and Sean Cody and even Matt Leinart teams. You know, you need the guys on the team to take ownership of that team. And for whatever reason, and you can blame all the highs and lows of whatever they went through over the last couple of years, it is very clear when you see this team that as much as Sark is doing a fantastic job and deserves a lot of credit, you got to look at guys like Cody Kessler and Leonard Williams and even young guys who are in their second year like Sua Cravens and others who've sort of said, this is our team, this is our group of guys, you know, everyone else sort of be damned. We are taking on the world, and there are no distractions that are going to get in our way. And to me, you know, it doesn't always mean that a team like that's going to be fantastic and great and successful, but I think the best teams have those characteristics, and it's fun to see this group sort of emerge like that.
I think, you know, you're absolutely right, Mike. It is a fair question that you're asking, and Jeremy hit it on the head. I think that was one of the things that Orgeron did right away mm-hmm. when he took over as interim coach last year. You know, this is your guys' team. This is control, and you guys, you know, are taking ownership of this. And that was one of the biggest talking points from the players all off season was that lesson they learned, and they saw it. You know, they saw that approach work. To get them from after five games, you had a coach get fired, to the players taking ownership and then going on a run where they got to 10 wins. And so they saw it work. They know it can work. And I think, yeah, Kessler, Pilar, these guys on and on, there is really good leadership on this team, and that just shows how you come in with such a smooth game for game one. And so let's start looking at some of the things really that went right. I want to talk about the running game. There was a lot of runs, 64 rushes. That is a big number. You had 31 at half. And then when, you know, with the lead in place, you really leaned on them in the second half. But Jeremy, I know you talked about the rushing number was big and it was great on the surface. But you and I were talking, you said, hey, there was a few too many runs that didn't go anywhere to really make you feeling great about the running game right now. Talk about what you mean by that.
Well, you know, again, we'll see this week, right? Because there's part of me that says you just really can't tell playing a team like Fresno State. No disrespect to them, but, you know, it's not the type of defense that we're going to face this week against Stanford. And, you know, there were guys that missed blocks and whiffed on guys, and mm-hmm. and we didn't pay a price for it because of the talent we're playing against at Fresno State. And, you know, we did break some big runs, and, you know, our backs are incredibly talented, and we get Trey Madden back. I mean, it's even deeper rotation. So, I mean, I love the commitment to the running game. I love what we're doing. But I'm a little hesitant to say that we're going to be a dominant running team early in the season, the way I think we may grow into in the latter part of the season, because our young guys, as good as they hate, I mean, they had some times where they were blowing people off the ball, even as true freshmen, and it was great to see. But I'm not not sure you can expect that every week from this team as the competition gets better. And to be honest with you, I think one of the best, if not the best, defensive fronts we're going to see is this week against Stanford. And, you know, yes, they've lost Murphy, and yes, they lost Scove and some of the other guys, but, you know, they've got a David Perry nose tackle in the middle who's an absolute beast, you know, fifth-year senior. Their entire defense is, you know, seven seniors, four juniors, all sort of upperclassmen that are physical guys coming at us. It's going to be a completely different team and type of defense that we face this week, and I'll be interested to see, you know, are we able to run the ball against a Stanford team like that, not have the negative plays or even the zero-yard plays that put us in a second or third and long. I think those situations are going to be more challenging for us as we face better defenses.
I think your point is right about the offensive line. That there were some whiffs and there were some misses and some things that happened that is just not going to play when you get into the heart of the Pac-12 and especially against a team like Stanford. But my takeaway was, aside from maybe some of the foibles of the offensive line where they're, you know, they're young guys and that was totally anticipated. So I'm going to totally give them a pass on that. But I saw a running back that I think is timeless in his style. I think is somebody that you could give the ball to 30, 40 times a game, and that's Buck Allen. And he's just got so many things. Back in the day when you wanted to have a featured back and that was going to be your guy, that was a great thing for USC to have. And that's not necessarily what they have to do. You don't have to go back to the 60s, 70s, and 80s and try to utilize that style. But if you wanted to, he's it. He's also a guy that understands what it would mean to have to play in a pro-style offense. And I mean getting out, reading, seeing what's going on, catching the football, and he's also a great pass protector. So for me, I think there is a back that is going to be a featured back, should be a featured back, and I know the coaching staff is going to recognize this as well. I saw a star in Buck Allen. I saw the making of somebody that could be that guy and could have been a traditional USC tailback and pounded it as much as possible. So I saw that part. As far as the way that the offense, you know, is going to relate to what it does against Stanford, yeah. I mean, critical that you're going to have some guys that know what they're doing. There are going to be some mistakes. Now, this is going to be an interesting game. And I don't know how much the running game is really going to play into this as much as they're going to have to be more balanced. They're going to have to do some things where they get the ball out in space and down the field. So I guess my point is I don't think you can go in and get into a fist fight with Stanford and expect to win yet. Although the team is physically better than they have been in the past, I think that they're not quite there where they can go in and say, we're just going to beat you up.
I don't think there's any question on what Buck's potential is. That was the fifth 100-yard rushing game that he had in the last seven games. This guy has an aura about him on mm-hmm. the team. You know, the other players recognize this guy's something a little bit different. And I don't know if you remember hearing the story, Mike, but, you know, a guy you played with, Marcus Allen, pretty good tailback. Mm-hmm. When Orgeron got installed as the interim coach last year, one of the very first team meetings, he had Marcus come down and speak to the team. And if you remember at that point, Buck did not play a whole lot. Up until that point, he got very spot action. And Marcus, in that very first meeting, called out, "Where's Buck Allen?" Buck raised his hand. And Marcus said, "You keep on doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna get your opportunity. It's gonna come." So the things you're seeing right now, Marcus Allen saw earlier. So that's a pretty credible evaluation in that regard. Before we really move on and talk about Stanford, I want to talk one thing about Fresno State, and that is the performances by the freshmen for the Trojans: Juju Smith, Adoree Jackson, Bryce Dixon. You mentioned, you know, Loban Don and Mama. There was a lot of first year players, their first action on the field for the Trojans, and they didn't act like it. That was a very impressive debut. 11 true freshmen played in that game.
For me, you just get the sense that there's something special about this class, and it's not, you know, I don't say that in hindsight after Saturday. I sort of got that feeling covering some of these guys, you know, and watching them in high school last year and then seeing how the class came together and how this group sort of, they all knew each other, were calling each other on the phone, sort of realizing that they're going to be this new group to come in under Sarkisian and really sort of start to you know, turn the tide the other way in terms of how things are going with USC football. You get the feeling, Mike, I mean, that this, there's something different about this group. They're a little bit beyond their years. They are, I mean, just from a maturity standpoint, their expectations of themselves are off the charts from what most freshmen's expectations would be of themselves. And, you know, I don't expect everything to go like Saturday. I do expect some freshman mistakes and penalties and other things to happen. But, you know, goodness gracious, they played above their years for sure. And, you know, the Trojans absolutely need it. So in many ways, credit to Sark for bringing them along, put them in those positions, and realizing, you know, in many ways, he doesn't have a choice. He's got to play some of these guys early. They are the talent that's going to help propel this football team. If we are going to compete for a Pac-12 championship this season, it's going to be because of a lot of these guys. Wouldn't do it without them.
Yeah, but if you do it out of necessity because you have to, you know, usually you're like, well, we're going to put some freshmen out there, and they're going to make some mistakes, and you know, you're kind of holding your nose when you do it. Nobody was holding their nose in this game. You know, everybody was able to contribute. I mean, Jeremy, they look like they were mature guys that had experience. It's your first game, you know, in a college football game. You were playing high school, you know, 7 months ago, and now you're doing this. It was astonishing to me, you know, to think about Dory Jackson and, you know, all the things that he had to learn and all the things that he had to be familiar with was pretty amazing to me. You talked about Juju and you know, where he's at and, you know, the fact that he understands where he's got to be, what he's got to do. That part really stood out in my mind, the fact that mentally these cats have got it and they haven't had a lot of time. I was really surprised. I was really surprised by the maturity I saw from the freshmen. And I don't know what Coach Sarkisian and his staff are doing and how they've worked with these guys, but nobody was lost on the field. And to me, that is a real testament to the preparation that went on there. So something tells me, and just going back to Cody Kessler's performance, the freshman's performance, I got to think that the preparation for this game was as good as it possibly could be, and that's the one thing you can control. So where does that go back to? That goes back to the staff to have those guys ready.
I'll make one really quick point on that, Mike. The first real communication error, if you want to call it, that I noticed was midway through the third quarter when there wasn't enough men out there on the extra point team and Hadari had to take a 5-yard penalty.
Yeah.
That's really impressive for how much new they had going on. It, like you said, it seemed like they were very well prepared. So kudos to the coaches on that one. Let's start talking Stanford. What an interesting game this is going to be. Mike, you made a point, you know, talk about such a big early season matchup, and you're saying, hey, is this, you know, ideally this is probably a couple weeks too early where you would want to have this game. I think one of the benefits is that the Trojans are relatively healthy coming into this game. But what a fantastic matchup. The revenge factor from last year, but things are so different with the USC offense coming into it. Give us your interesting thoughts on that.
Well, there's a couple of things that really come to mind. One is that, you know, Stanford had, you know, shifted the tide a little bit, you know, that they had become the more physical team. They had become the ones that had the championship experience. And, you know, USC's got to get back to that, and they had to knock them off. Having done that last year, it was shocking. So for Stanford, yeah, it ruined a lot. There is going to be that motive for them to try to seek some sort of revenge. But this team and this coaching staff, you know, they weren't necessarily that caught up in that, and I don't think they're that caught up in it. They just got to go and do this, and it's got to be very businesslike how they get it done. They're going to run into a challenge that's much greater than the one they had last week. They've got to figure out a way to get it done. What I saw from Cody Kessler and the fact that he was able to utilize his receivers the way that he did, the fact that he felt so comfortable, I think that's going to be the key to this game. You know, some of the best matchups in the Pac-12 over the last 3-4 years have been Oregon and Stanford. You know, and they've just battled back on who's going to be supreme in the conference. And I would say the best elements of the Oregon offense are the things that Steve Sarkisian is trying to do. The fact that Cody Kessler is as good a passer and understands where it has to be and what has to happen, that to me is going to be the critical juncture in this, is when he gets in there and he's able to make some things happen when they're not able to just run the football at will and not able to make some of the mistakes in the line play that they did and get to it. I'm hoping defensively that, you know, Leonard Williams will be able to impose his will somehow, some way. And I think Jeremy had made this point in the very first podcast that, you know, Leonard's a guy that you can put on their worst guy to try to make some things happen. I think the staff will be smart enough to do something like that. I think it's critical that he's going to be able to do that. There's got to be a way to get some pressure on Hogan, and you know, because I think if you don't, it's going to be a long day. But I love the Trojans' chances in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, over the past several years, you've seen USC, even going back to when Andrew Luck was here and we went into those overtime games, mm-hmm. USC has matched up well against Stanford because the big physical style and brand of football that they bring, as much as it may overwhelm some fast speed teams like Oregon and yeah. Cal, to where, you know, Stanford actually, you know, matches up better against Oregon. When they come down here and, you know, they've crushed UCLA, when they come down here and play the Trojans or we go up there and play them, those things have been battle royales, even with the depleted roster that we've had. It's been mano a mano, let's put bigs on bigs, and it's been a war. And I think, Mike, you're exactly right. You know, we have been, you know, the rise of Stanford has happened, and their, you know, their conference championships and everything they've done has sort of coincided with the sanctions and mm-hmm. everything that we've gone through at USC. Well, we're getting past that, and you know, sure, our roster's not what we want it to be and what it'll be 2 or 3 years from now in terms of numbers, but you know, last year that game was a statement game to sort of turn the tide and hopefully start going in the other direction. And like you said, Ed Orgeron and that team put that was our national championship game last year. That was everything we had going up against that Stanford team. This year, it's early in the season. It's a lot more businesslike. This is the second game of the year, and we got right. a lot more to play for after this. Well, can we still sort of rise to the occasion the same way and sort of take on that fight? And it's going to be, like I said earlier, it's going to be completely different than playing a Fresno State. You know, they are a veteran team. There's a lot of people that aren't on the Stanford team that were there last year, but they're replacing them with juniors and seniors that they've been, you know, recruiting and grooming in the system that have gotten playing time in the last several years. This is going to be the same old, big, physical Stanford offense. I saw one of the touchdowns they had last weekend where Hogan ran for touchdown. They had their offensive linemen in the game. They had two tight ends, and they had three fullbacks. Yeah. And they, you know, lead block, and here comes Kevin Hogan. He's just going to keep the ball and run it around the end. You know what's coming. Try to stop it. And there's going to be a lot of, you know, I like our defense's chances to match up against that, keep the game close, keep Stanford's scoring levels down. You know, the question I have is exactly what you alluded to, Mike, which is, can Cody Kessler be as effective and as efficient against the Stanford defense, where he is probably going to have to, like you said, spread it around to our skill guys, find some matchups on the outside yeah. and in space where we can sort of take advantage of guys because we have great skill, and hope that over time that opens up the running game. And I think we will be balanced. I think we will try to run the ball, but I just don't expect us to have the same success that we had against Fresno State. And can we, you know, keep Cody, you know, protected and give him time to spread the ball around and move the ball in that way? But I expect a much I expect a very close game. I expect it to be much lower scoring, but I absolutely think the Trojans can win, and I think our confidence is sky high. You beat them last year. I think we are better this year than we were last year. I think we're already sort of showing that. We've got a more talented roster across the board, and I think we'll go in there confident. And I actually expect the Trojans to win this game.
In closing, real quick, Gary, you know, just to build on Jeremy's point, he said, you know, finding the mismatch, and even though you're talking about two very physical teams, I think that's what's going to happen. I think this is going to come down to matchups, and it's going to be kind of a coaching thing. You know, where are the matchups? And I do think that in the passing game, USC is going to have some advantages there. I don't think there's going to be a huge advantage anywhere in the running game, but you know, just judging from what I saw. And the other thing, just, you know, as a parting thought, I don't know how much of a challenge UC Davis was for Stanford. I don't know how much of a, you know, and I don't know how much of a challenge, you know, Fresno State was. But I honestly, from the outside looking in, I was more impressed at USC's performance than I was with Stanford's performance.
Let me toss this out here. Opposing defense coordinators and Stanford's is going to be first up. As they've been looking at the SC offense in recent years, and then when opposing defense coordinators in the Pac-12 look at the tape from Saturday, and they see what Sark is bringing now to the SC offense, how much are they going, uh-oh, you know, there is some coaching going on at SC again that maybe hasn't been seen in a while, take advantage of these athletes. I think this is a new age of the SC offense that people are going to have to start thinking about when they see what Sark is doing.
Well, let me respond to that, because I could not agree more. I mean, you know, if this were, I'm not a Lane Kiffin fan, I'm sort of, you know, open about that fact, but if this were Lane Kiffin playing Stanford, you'd sit there as a defensive coordinator and say, he's going to try to force the ball to Nelson Aguilar. You know, in the past it might have been Marquise Lee or whoever it would, and he's going to try over and over to force the ball into him no matter what the situation is. He's going to micromanage his quarterback and tell him to take three steps, drop, and throw it to Marquise, and you're going to double that guy and you're going to shut him down. And we didn't see that on Saturday. What we saw on Saturday was spreading the ball around to guys getting it out of the backfield, you know, tight ends catching the ball, different receivers catching the ball, a bunch of true freshmen that you didn't think were even going to get that many touches getting targeted on every play. You know, what do you defend? I mean, you know, it is like Mike was saying, the matchups are everywhere for the Trojans to come to the ball and say, okay, how are you going to stop me? Because I got a lot of different options, and I'm not going to try to force it to one guy or do this or do that. I'm going to use the matchups that are there, spread it around, and I got plenty of talent that can go make plays against the Stanford defense. So to me, it is a completely different type of game plan. And, you know, that's, you know, probably to me was the best thing that I loved about Saturday. It was how many different weapons, you know, Sark is using. And you know, to your point, Gary, I think it's a defensive coordinator's nightmare compared to what USC's been in the past.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can I throw this back to you, Mike, just to build on that? Did it not feel a little bit I had a flash in the middle of the game. I said, wow, this feels like when Chow first got here, and all of a sudden you realize what a good offensive coordinator who would attack and take advantage of matchups. All of a sudden you see that, and we were coming off of Hackett at that time, who was supposed to be the offensive genius as well. But it's just that feeling of Chow when all of a sudden you realize, holy cow, what he can do with these athletes, and who did Sark learn under? It was a very familiar feeling watching that game.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of parallels that you can draw to that. You know, the unsuccessful tenure of Paul Hackett you alluded to, and the unsuccessful tenure of Lane Kiffin, and who comes in afterwards. And, you know, I always had a sense, and I can remember people mocking me because I thought Pete was going to be very successful. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, this and that. I go, no, I know how he is, and I'd been around him enough to understand what he had in mind. And you talked about Norman, the way that he utilized that. And he took Carson Palmer and he settled him down and he made it simpler and he made it easier. To Jeremy's point, that's probably the same thing that Steve did with Cody Kessler the minute that he got with him, is simplified things. And so it moved around and it flowed. And there's just something to be said for a flow that a quarterback feels that. And in my experience, when you go in like that, you're feeling loose, you're feeling confident, things go better. Cody Kessler just looked like a really, really good quarterback. I don't want to use the word great and all that. I don't want to, you know, start throwing out all the superlatives on him, but he looked pretty dang good on Saturday, and he was very comfortable with his receivers. And your original premise and original question was, what do you do if you're a defensive coordinator? It is keeping you up at night. I guarantee it.
And one thing I want to hit on before we wrap this up on this game is, you guys have alluded to before, I think the USC defensive line against the Stanford O-line, I'm as excited to watch this matchup as anything, because I love this USC defensive line right now, and I love this interior, and that's with all due respect to the Stanford offensive line. You were talking before about, you know, five offensive linemen, some tight ends, and three fullbacks. I'm sure you guys are as fired up on that kind of formation as I am. That's great stuff. But I want to see how this matchup goes, because I don't think the USC defensive line showed much of anything in the game last week, so I'm sure there's a couple tricks up the sleeve. But when you talk about that group, I can't wait to see what happens in this game in that regard.
I think that, we're going to see a completely different defense this week. I don't think we showed anything. I don't remember seeing us blitz barely at all last week. I mean, I think there are things we will do to bring run blitzes and other things that could turn into, you know, pass blitzes to the extent that Kevin Hogan does play action or whatever it might be. I think we showed significantly last year, you know, how to, even with different defensive coordinator, you know, how you attack this Stanford defense and really stuff the run first, make Kevin Hogan try to make plays under pressure. I expect us to try to do much of the same this week. I think Kevin Hogan's a very good quarterback when he play actions and sits back there for 6 or 7 seconds and has Ty Montgomery, you know, running 40 yards down the field past everybody and using his speed. We can't give Kevin Hogan that type of time to sit back there and get the ball against our secondary to guys like that. And I don't expect that to happen. I expect us to be all over the first 5 yards of the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. I expect Leonard Williams to have a really, really big game. And I expect guys like Sua Cravens and others to be up in that more of a linebacker type position and blitzing and coming and filling. But it's going to be, hey, I'm sure that they will crease us on some plays and there'll be some times where they take it to us, but we're going to turn around and I expect us to give it right back. And, it's going to be a battle that for the guys that like physical football, which Mike and I are both those type of guys, it's going to be a great weekend to watch that 10 yards on either side of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, but that's USC football. You know, you're supposed to be physical. You know, you're not supposed to have to worry about being intimidated by, you know, about Notre Dame because they are physical. You're not supposed to be intimidated by the University of Washington, or you're not supposed to be intimidated by somebody like Stanford. And I don't know all the flavors of Ben and Jerry's, but if they have a super fantabulous vanilla, that's what you saw defensively from USC last week. It was so vanilla. They showed nothing, which makes me think that, you know, Jeremy's onto something here. I could see Sua Cravens, you know, all over the place. I mean, I could just see him in a number of different spots trying to get involved here and trying to get some pressure on Hogan and trying to make some things happen. So, yeah, no, I think that they definitely held their cards closely on what they were doing. They didn't want to show anything. I don't think they did. But, you know, just judging from the job I saw coaching-wise offensively against Fresno State, I'm really excited. And I think that's going to be critical, and I think it's going to be key to watch. What are they going to do against Stanford? How are they going to put pressure on the quarterback? And, you know, what things are they going to be to utilize? So my key to the game is to watch what happens defensively and look where Sua Cravens lines up and what he is trying to accomplish.
I really like what we saw from Sua in game one, and I think that is going to be a good thing to follow. Okay, let's wrap this up. I think we've hit on pretty much everything we would want to hit on and looking forward to this, but if we haven't, let's close out with a final thought from each of you. Jeremy.
Well, I'll go first and just say that to me the key to the game, and we haven't really talked much about it, but it may be special teams. And I think, you know, our kicking game is still a little bit suspect. Ty Montgomery is an absolute, you know, future NFL star on Stanford's roster that plays in a very, you know, restrictive offense and that doesn't let him do a lot, but he scores on special teams. He makes big plays in the passing game for them. He'll get it on reverses and other things. If we can, from a special team standpoint, make sure that special teams is not a negative for us and we don't give up big plays to Ty Montgomery, both in special teams and in the passing game, I expect USC to win this game. I think if we can neutralize that aspect of Stanford's team, I think our offensive skill is going to be, you know, over in the top, better than Stanford's, and at the end of the day is going to be the difference in the game.
I felt a lot better about this game in the fourth quarter of last week's game, if you understand what I'm saying. With the production that I saw, the poise, what was happening from the quarterback position really made me feel like, oh, wow, I'm not going to just say I think USC can win this game. I'm going to believe it, and I do. I think that this team has a lot of buy-in. I think that they play well together. You guys talked about the freshmen and how productive they are. That was almost astonishing to me to have those many guys that have never played a college football game before and get that done. So I would tell Trojan fans to take heed because you got the right coach. You got a staff that has a team incredibly well prepared. So here's a couple things that you can say that you couldn't say in the past. You're not going to get out physical, and if that's a word, and you're not going to get out coached. So other than that, you know, that I'll take that. You know, if I'm going into a game and I can feel confident in those two areas, as a fan, I think you would take that.
I think what's going to be really interesting is what an opportunity this is for the Pac-12 conference this weekend. I think in the offseason there was a lot of talk about the Pac-12 gaining ground on the SEC in terms of power conferences, and this weekend the spotlight is going to be on the Pac-12 with Oregon, Michigan State, and then with Stanford, SC. Those are two high-profile games. SC has a lot of momentum coming off of this last weekend. I don't know if you saw the ESPN power rankings this morning. SC was number 5 in the country based on those. Does that mean a heck of a lot? No. But is it nice to see the profile again being on something that is relating to football rather than other outside influences? So it's right there. There's a lot of opportunity for the taking this weekend, I think, in terms of national perception of where things are at. And I agree with both of you. I think the Trojans are absolutely ready for this. Going to be a lot of fun on the farm on Saturday.
Real quick, Gary.
Yes,
I watched Todd Gurley at the University of Georgia, and he had an unbelievable performance, and everybody's talking about him. I would put Buck Allen up against Todd Gurley right now.
Love it.
So, and I watched both of those games very closely, and I think Buck Allen is a guy that I would just as soon have in my backfield as Todd Gurley from the University of Georgia.
Tall statement, Mike Lamb, and I like it a lot. For Mike Lamb, for Jeremy Hogue, this is Gary Paskowitz. You're listening to the We Are SC podcast.